I have the fourth word found in Mark chapter 15, verses 33 to 34. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Let's pray. Lord, once again, we pray that you would open our ears to hear you and that you would continue to move in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. My God, why have you forsaken me? These words from the cross are only found in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew. We don't find them in Luke. We don't find them in the Gospel of John. It's just Mark and Matthew. And it's also interesting that these are the only words from the cross that are found in Mark and Matthew. That Jesus will give a great cry, but Mark and Matthew don't tell us any other words that Jesus says from the cross. They just have this one word, my God, why have you forsaken me? I've kind of been wrestling with that a little bit. I'd like for one of the Gospels to have all the words, and so that we know exactly what order they're in and everything that Jesus said from the cross. But I suspect that the gospel writers are a lot like us, that they tend to bring forward what is most applicable. And I suspect that when you leave this service and somebody tomorrow or Sunday asks you what you did Friday night and you tell them you went to a Good Friday service, that while you've all heard all the words, that you will probably only bring forward into that conversation the words that you have sensed to be very applicable to your life or that might be applicable to that conversation. And so I think maybe that's what's going on here, and that Mark and Matthew must have seen these words as extremely applicable to their readers. Mark, we think, was writing to the church at Rome, and they were under intense persecution. Matthew, we believe, was writing to Jewish Christians who were facing a lot of scorn from their unbelieving families and from their larger constituency. And I suspect that both of those churches, the church at Rome and the church that Matthew is writing for of Jewish Christians, that both of those churches were facing a lot of scorn, a lot of suffering, a lot of ridicule, and for the church at Rome, death. And I suspect that those churches, the people of those churches, that they had times, they had moments when it seemed to them that God had abandoned them. That when they had to watch a loved one taken and executed, it must have felt like God abandoned them to let that happen. That when they were mocked, ridiculed, scorned, cut off from their family because they believed in Jesus, they must have felt at some level that God had abandoned them, that God had forsaken them. And so here is Mark, here is Matthew writing to their different churches, very different context. And yet, they remember the same words of Jesus from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I suspect that that was the word that applied to those congregations, facing rejection from family, facing loss of loved ones to the Romans, facing scorn, ridicule, pain. My God, why have you forsaken me? And I suspect that if we were really honest, that tonight there are some here who, those are the words that apply. That you've gone through some stuff, maybe you're in the middle of the stuff, and it just seems like God has abandoned you. We can think of different scenarios. It was the anniversary not too long ago of a family that had to have a funeral for their infant. And in the midst of a loss of a child that's barely been here, my God, why have you forsaken me? And others who have had life plans just blow up for one reason or another. It could be illness, it could be something that somebody else did, but life plans, dreams just blow up. My God, why have you forsaken me? In churches, that have had incredible pain and hardship. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken us? And I think what Mark and what Matthew want us to know is that Jesus entered into and went through that place of feeling God's abandonment. I think if we were to ask Jesus, you know, before he went to the cross, does God abandon anybody? And I suspect Jesus' answer would have been no, that God doesn't abandon. I suspect if you talk to the people in the church at Rome before the persecution broke out, does God abandon people? No, God never forsakes anybody. They might even quote Psalm 27 that talks about how mother and father might abandon, but God will be faithful, that God will yet receive. And I suspect if you talk to Matthew's church, that they would say, no, God doesn't abandon, God's faithful. And I suspect that if I were to ask just about every one of you, you know, does God bail out? Does God forsake? Does God abandon? And your answer would be no, that God is the faithful one. And yet, when we go through times of pain, when we go through times of disappointment, times of rejection, times of incredible loss, times of death, feels like maybe God did abandon, that God forsook. And Jesus, he entered into that place, to where in the midst of our pain and feeling like somehow God let us down and bailed out on us, we expected it from everybody else, but we didn't expect it from God. And yet it seems that God has forsaken us. That I think Mark and Matthew would want us to know that in that place, Jesus is present. That he knows the pain of forsakenness. Now, Jesus is quoting Psalm 22. It's the first line of Psalm 22. Many would argue that when you quote the first line of a psalm, that you have the whole psalm in mind. If I say, the Lord is my shepherd, you're thinking of what psalm? Psalm 23, and probably the whole psalm, and you just run through it in your mind. And so maybe what's going on here is Jesus is quoting Psalm, you know, verse 1 of Psalm 22, but the whole psalm is actually what he's living through. And that's not to minimize what he's feeling, the place he's at in verse 1, but it's to highlight that by the time you get to the end of the psalm, after 20-some verses, all of a sudden this one who was afflicted is giving praise to God for hearing his cry of affliction. And I suspect that at some point in here, Jesus makes that movement, that journey of the psalm, to where he starts out with, my God, why have you forsaken me? But somewhere in there, maybe 20 verses later, he gives a cry, and it's evident to all that, wow, God must have heard his cry by the way that he actually died. There's one other thing that I find really intriguing about the passage. Darkness. That the darkness came over the earth. It was the middle of the day, darkness for 3 hours. And I don't really know how to understand that darkness. I think about different darkness images, especially in the Old Testament. I think about the creation story, that the earth was formless and void and there was darkness over the waters. I think about God speaking, saying, let there be light, and there was light, and God separating the darkness and there's light. I think about Abraham, and he was placed into this sleep, and it says that the darkness was thick. And then in the midst of that thick darkness, what he discovers is that God is the one who's making a commitment to him. I think about down in Egypt, that there was a darkness over the land. And then I think about how Moses on Mount Sinai approached the thick darkness where God was. That On the one hand, darkness might seem like God is absent, and on the other hand, darkness might be so thick and so heavy that God is actually at work in that darkness. And I think about the 3 hours of darkness, but then I also think about kind of the 3 days of darkness and what a dark time that must have been from Good Friday to Easter morning. And yet in the midst of that darkness, God was at work. And Jesus, if he didn't know it already, and I suspect he did, but if he didn't know it already, that he would discover God had not abandoned him. God resurrected him. That out of the darkness, new life was brought forth. Resurrection life was brought forth. And so the one thing I'd like for you to take away, if you're among those who these are the words that you find most applicable, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it just seems like there is thick darkness over your life tonight. That Jesus knows where you're at. That you're not alone in the darkness, no matter how heavy the darkness might be. And that just as God was at work doing something in that darkness to bring forth new life, I suspect in your darkness, God is at work to bring forth new life.